In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is the greatness of the advanced class. To so get the Word of God within our life, and to so believe it, that we can stand on that Word and we can again say, I can do it. One of the curses has been that we've always said, well, let God do it. God can do it. But you and I know good and well that the ministry of reconciliation and the Word of reconciliation has been committed unto us. We are responsible for bringing men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is responsible for what He wrought in Christ Jesus and sets within us as born-again sons of God. But once we are born again of God's Spirit, filled with His Holy Spirit, God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation and the Word of reconciliation, and we must carry that Word. And the Apostle Paul, declaring God's Word, said, I can do it. I can do it. When I call on you people to speak in tongues and interpret and prophesy in this class, you get up and do it. I can do it. Never in this class do I ever want one person to say, I can't do it. When the Word says you can, you say what the Word says. You believe what the Word says. And you stay put right on that Word, irrespective of what your feelings may be. Because this is one class, we don't go by your feelings, because I don't give a hoot what you feel. I'm concerned about the greatness of God's Word living, because it's that Word that makes the difference between truth and error. And the Word declares, I can do all things. I can do it. Through whom? Through Christ. That's right. Not in my own strength, but in the strength that He gives to us when He comes in. It is He that quickens us. It is He who makes us alive. It is He who gives us that certain something that makes it possible for us to be more than conquerors through Him who loved us and who gave Himself for us. It is He who makes it possible for us to manifest a life which is more than abundant. And that is why I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. It is He who gives us the strength. It is He who gives us that spiritual perception. And you can so discipline your mind and work the Word of God and renew your mind that you become spiritually alive, spiritually sensitive, spiritually able to recognize truth from error. Out of this advanced class must come men and women who can pick up any piece of literature, any place at any time, or listen to any newscast, or read any book, and who will be able to separate truth from error just as sharp as that. I'll set the principles of the Word before you, but I cannot equip you. You have to equip yourself. You have to come to the conviction of the greatness of the Word when it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You have to know that. And now in order to be able to do that, we have to fill our minds with an abundance of God's Word. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing throughout this advanced class. In the third chapter of Ephesians, in the 20th verse of this third chapter, is another one of the foundational scriptures that is very well known to all of us. Now unto Him, verse 20, who is able to do exceeding what? Exceeding that which is abundant, exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or what? Think, according to the power at work within us. Isn't that wonderful? According to the power that worketh in us. God is able, right? And whatever God is able to do, He's also willing to do. He is able and willing because He'll do exceeding abundantly. He will exceed abundance to us according to everything that we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. Now, the power that's at work within us is a twofold kind of thing. It's one, Christ in you, and then the other is the renewed mind, the utilization of that dynamis, that power. That's the word dynamis, by the way. The utilization of that power to make it concrete in reality, workable in our day and in our time. Now, when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he did it by the gift of pneumahagion, the gift of Holy Spirit, which is power from where? On high. The gift is special. The gift is special. The gift of God in Christ in you, the Holy Spirit, that's special. Very special. Not the doing or the working of it is special. For the individual believer, the individual son of God, must do the working thereof according to his or her own believing. And since we cannot believe beyond what we're taught, we must be taught abundantly if we're going to manifest abundantly. We're going to have a great knowledge of God's Word if we're going to work this Word and bring it into manifestation in our life and a blessing to the lives of all of God's people. Now in Ephesians chapter 6, we have to become in this class that God's vocabulary is our vocabulary. We have to say what He says. Even if all the circumstances around us indicate that which is contrary to His Word, you and I have to say what the Word says. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in whom? In the Lord and in the power of what? That's exactly what we have to do. We have to be strong in the Lord. Now, how are we going to be strong in the Lord except we know His Word? It is His Word and a knowledge of that Word that makes us strong in the what? Lord. If you're going to be strong in Shakespeare, what do? Read Shakespeare. If we're going to be strong in the Lord, we've got to go to the Word to get the Lord's Word. For the Lord's Word must be our Word. His vocabulary must be our vocabulary. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In this advanced class, when we get to God's Word, we believe God's Word, we put it on, we walk in it, and we say, Lord, You said it, I didn't, You do it. You carry it out as we minister the Word. That's right. Many times when I minister healing to people, I remind the Lord that He said it, I didn't. The Bible says He sent His Word and what? Healed them. Just yesterday afternoon, some of you I know two or three of you girls were lovely enough that when you saw there was an opportunity, somebody had come to see me and I had to minister to that person, instead of just walking by and talking, you immediately sat down and I know you spoke in tongues because God showed it to me. And two of those three are in the advanced class. That's what you have to learn. That's spiritual perception. You'll see this at times happening all over the headquarters at different places. Well, stopping just doing that yesterday, as far as I'm concerned, qualifies you for the advanced class, at least in one field. You had the spiritual perception there was a need, and that I was ministering to that need, and the best thing you could do at that time was quit talking and start speaking in tongues for that person, and you did exactly that. But I reminded the Father. It was a real sort of a fine opportunity. I said, Lord, You sent Your Word to heal her. Therefore, we minister healing in Your stead as having the ministry of reconciliation and the Word of reconciliation. We take the place of Christ here upon earth, Your place, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, You sent Your Word to heal them. Father, I thank You for healing her. Just like that, she was delivered. You see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Finally, my brethren, stand fast in that Word. Now to do that, We've got to put on the whole armor of God. You and I cannot settle for anything less than the whole armor if we're really going to wage a warfare. Whose armor didn't fit somebody? Saul's armor didn't fit David, right? Ha! Boy, don't you try to put anybody else's armor on. You put on the armor that's set in the Word, and it'll fit you because it will be your armor. Don't try to think anymore in terms of any theologians or any commentaries. If after the advanced class you ever own one of those because you believe what they say, you ought to have your head examined by God Almighty or somebody. Because you and I have to be so versatile in God's Word that we put on the armor of the Word. Not the armor of what people may say. Not of what a theologian may say or a commentary may say or a Sunday school quarterly or Victor Paul Werwell or any other preacher, unless what he says is exactly what the Word says, and it has to fit all the way from Genesis to Revelation with a mathematical exactness and scientific precision. This is why we put on the whole armor of God, verse 11 says. The whole armor. The whole armor. Not half of it, not two-thirds of it. Not 99 and 44 one-hundredth. Peter has something else for that. Saw it in the magazine this week at the camp. I forget what it was. You ask him. But even 94 and 44 one-hundredth, I tell you, in the foundational class is soap and not the Word of God. The Word of God is the whole armor. The whole armor. You've got to put on the whole thing if you're going to fight a war. And I'm telling you, like Pat told you tonight, Reverend Mrs. Talley, we're in a fight. And it's a dandy. It's a good one. It's a big one. That's right. And sometimes it looks like the enemy's chopping them down left and right and right and left. But he hasn't chopped them all down because I'm still here and you're here and we're standing. But the only way we can stand is to put on the whole armor of God. For if we do not have that whole armor in there on, Satan will slip a fiery dart in there and get rid of us. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of what? The devil. 4, verse 12. We wrestle not against what? Then our fight is not against flesh and blood. Never is our fight against flesh and blood. It's always a spiritual fight. It looks like a fight against flesh and blood, but it is never. Now, right here, you renew your mind tonight in this advanced class, or you're already done before we get started. If you think that there's any fight, any place, with which you're confronted or have been confronted or will be confronted in the future, that it's simply one man against another man or one woman against a man or man against woman against woman, you're wrong, because the wrestling is not against flesh and blood. It never is. It's always a spiritual fight. Because there are only two great spirits. One is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The other spirit is Satan. And Satan is the prince of this world. And you are a son of God. Therefore, as a son of God, you walk as a son of God. Satan's trying to chop you down. That's always the fight. Always the fight. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Even when two Christian believers fight like cats and dogs, it is not a wrestling against flesh and blood. It's a wrestling against spiritual powers, spiritual wickedness, devil spirits. That's what it's wrestling against. Because, as you and I well know, a person can be born again of God's Spirit and still be loaded with devil spirits because they can occupy the mind. They cannot occupy the eternal life, the new birth, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We know all this. Otherwise, you can't be in the advanced class. You know that. Now, look at verse 13. Wherefore, because we were told in verse 11 we were to put on the whole armor of God. Now, wherefore, verse 13, take unto you, anything you can take, you can put on. Take. Not of grace, but of works. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in what? The evil day, and having done all, do one thing. What? That's right. Having done all, stand. Just don't budge. Not even one iota. The moment you budge one iota, you're already wrong. You're already off. And if you'll budge one iota, you will budge two. And if you'll budge two, you will budge three. And if you'll budge three, you'll budge four. And by that same token, you're going to sell out to the enemy. They be able to withstand anything that old boy can throw. And having done all that you can, putting on this armor, you do one thing. You stand for the fight. You stand. You don't knuckle under. You don't back up. It's never a retreat, I want to tell you that. It's always an advance. We are never on the defensive. We're always on the offense. That's right. Because the armor is our defense. We move out with it. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with what? And having on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. 15, your feet shod with what? The preparation of the gospel of what? Peace. Verse 16, above all, do what? Taking the shield of believing. The word faith there is the word believing. Take the shield of believing. Take the shield of believing. You know what the shield is for? It's to ward off the darts. You move the shield. You move it back and forth. If the enemy sends a dart for your right side of your body, you put the shield over here so it hits it. If he sends it for your face, you put it up here, sends it over here. But when he's down here, you use the shield. That's what it is, the shield of believing. It's that shield of believing that quenches them, that doesn't allow them to penetrate your life and to defeat you and to frustrate you. And your feet shod with the preparation. I read that, didn't I? 17. And take the helmet of salvation and what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There we have it. The shield of believing and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These are the only two things that you can really move. So you're believing, you move around to protect yourself with, and the sword you cut them up with. The sword of the Word of God you chop them down to size with. Taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of what? And to do this, you have to do number 18. You've got to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And to pray in the Spirit is to pray in tongues. You've got to spend oodles of time praying in the Spirit. Oodles of it. That's right. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now, all nine manifestations of the pneumahagion, all nine manifestations or the operations are possible because of the gift, which is special. The gift is always the spiritual ability or enablement. It is this gift of pneumahagion that enables you to do the job if you really want to do it. But it does not mean that you will automatically do it. Because a person can have the ability to do something, but he refuses to do it. He refuses to carry it out. In 2 Timothy, take a look at 2 Timothy. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to what? Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able able. They're able men. Well, what is an able man? An able man is one who has enablement. The enablement is what makes the man able. The enablements are the manifestations of the Spirit. These are the abilities. But as I told you, it does not mean that you will automatically utilize them, even if you know you've got them. Like a tool chest full of the best tools in the world does not mean that you will use them. You could have the best carpentry tools in the world and the most beautiful tool chest in the world, and you could just keep them in there under lock and key and sit on them. You still got the tools, but you're not getting anything built. You're not utilizing. Those tools will not work automatically by themselves. You have to work them. You have to do the same in the spiritual field. You must operate these enablements, these abilities. You must do it by the power of God that's in you. This is why Paul declares in God's Word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, before anybody can properly manifest anything, he must believe that it's available. He must know how to receive it. And he must know what to do with it after he's got it. In other words, how to operate, how to utilize it according to the capacity that he has received. In this advanced class, we'll be dealing with six of the great manifestations of the Spirit. We'll be dealing with the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the discerning of spirit, faith, miracles, and healing. This is where we're going to spend the next 3 weeks of our time. And I want to tell you, when we get through spending those 3 weeks, you'll wish you had another 3 weeks. And when you get through with those second 3 weeks, you wish you had another three. Because we're not going to be able to read all of God's Word in the next 3 weeks dealing with those manifestations. But we're going to read enough of them that every one of you will understand every key, which will unlock every revelation, every power manifestation, everything else, if you want to. If you don't want to, that's your fault. Right. Because it does not automatically operate. You must operate it. You must operate it. You see, the reason that I start here in the advanced class is singularly significant, the same as where I begin in the foundational class with John 10:10, here with Philippians 4:13. Because in every other realm, and I'm thinking every other realm, I'm thinking in terms of spiritualism and all these other things on the other side of the accuracy of God's Word, these people never do anything of their own volition. Never. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. Who's going to do the doing? He's going to do the doing. Is Paul possessed? Is he controlled? No. Is he a medium? Is he a channel? No. He says, I can do it. I can do it. But in the counterfeit field, the spiritualists never do anything of their own volition. Never. They're always possessed. They're always taken over. They're always controlled. They're always channeled. They're always mediums. They have what they refer to as helpers. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are not possessed. We are not controlled. We are not channels. We are not mediums. And if there's any one thing you're going to have to learn in this class, is to recognize the sharp lines of demarcation between the genuine and the counterfeit. Because up until this time, time and time again, you may have played in the counterfeit field 1 minute and in the genuine field another, without being cognizant of the fact that you were. And I think we all recognize that sincerity is no guarantee for truth. If you don't, you still don't belong in bad class. Right. Sincerity is no guarantee for truth, because the devil is just as sincere as you are. And sometimes I believe he's a little more sincere than I am, or something. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Listen to this. Part of our job is, verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of what? The devil. Those people who are taken captive by him at his what? Will. If you're taken captive, then you're no longer free. That's right. In an army, same thing's true. Marines, anything else. If the enemy takes you captive, then you're enslaved. You're no longer free. You're in a camp of the enemy. And there are people living by the barrelful who are taken captive by the devil at his will. And once he comes in, he possesses, he controls. The people just become mediums, channels for him. You and I are not his channels. We are not his mediums. We are not possessed. And we have to come to the place that we can sharply see this. And I want to tell you, if you budge 1 inch towards Satan's side, he'll beat you every step of the way. The moment you give 1 inch, you're already defeated. And certainly I need not remind an advanced class of the fall, do I? Of Genesis? The first thing old Eve did was to hold a conversation. Right? And then she changed the word around and all the rest. She didn't give very much, only one word. But that one word cost me to hoe thistles and swear at onion seeds that are growing the wrong places or something, right? That's just flipping on one word. People, when we have one word out of place, we no longer have the Word of God. When we delete a word, or when we add one, or when we change one, it's no longer God's Word. There are people, many of them, living today who are taken captive at his will. Devil spirits get into their minds. They operate very effectively and efficaciously for a period of time. Then they go out, they go to somebody else, live in them a while. Then they come back again. The people have their trap doors open. And the devil comes in and takes captive at his will. Whenever he wants to, he comes in, because the door is open. We have to learn in this class how to keep the trap door shut. That's right. But suppose you know how to keep the trap door shut, but you don't want to keep the trap door shut, you're going to have a few visitors. That's right. And they will increase with ferociousness according to the way that they're able to work themselves into your mind. This is a class, advanced class, on not only how to keep the door shut, but on recognizing what type of spirits, devil spirits, that like to get into people so that they can control them, possess them. And I will read to you and show you from God's Word how there's a progression of development. The first time they play with devil spirits or go to a spiritualist meeting or have a little palmistry or do a little Ouija board or a few little other minor things. They call them minor. That's the way to get to the major. Start with the minor. They open up. A little old devil spirit comes in. Boom, boom, boom. Pretty soon they become acclimatized. They like what's going on. Then larger ones come in. Till finally you get to the place that you got Jeannie Dixons and all the rest of them.
That's right.
And the people do not know the difference between truth and error. Between the genuine and the counterfeit. And the sorry plot is some of them don't give a darn. They don't care. As a matter of fact, they've arrived at the place that they think that which is error is truth, and that truth is error. Man, you've really come to it when you've come that far. In the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 5, remember, I'm trying tonight in this opening session to show you that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but that there is a big fight on, and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The other side never says this. They say, give yourself over to the Spirit. That's right. You get into some of those meetings and they say, well, sister, let the Lord, let the Spirit have His way with you, sister. Huh. Just relinquish yourself to the Spirit. Let Him speak through you. Let Him control you. Give Him your tongue. I want to tell you, I wouldn't give anybody my tongue. Got enough trouble with myself. What do you want the crazy thing for? I certainly wouldn't allow anybody to possess my mind. I would never pray, oh, God, please control me. Please possess my mind. Because there happens to be two gods. And the first true God never possesses. Therefore, if you prayed that prayer, you know what you've opened your trap door to? All the hosts of hell that the devil wants to put in. In Mark chapter 5, you have one of these wonderful records that you ought to become very, very versatile in understanding on. Chapter 5, verse 1. Listen to this. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when He was come out of the ship, this is Jesus, immediately there met Him out of the tombs, or from among the tombs in the cemetery, a man with an unclean, what? He was living among the tombs. That's where he lived. That's where he slept. It says so in verse 3. Who had his pajamas, his crest, all among the lot. That's where he dwelled, right? Okay? And no man could what? Bind him. No, not with chains. Handcuffs. Police chains is what they're talking about. When the boys came down to handcuff him, he'd just take those old chains and go poof, like that. That's right. I have seen men under spirit possession who would take a bar 3/4 inch thick, solid steel, and take just his hands, twist it like this, bend it together. I challenge you big men in this class to try it tonight. I won't even talk to you women about it. I challenge any of you men to do it tonight. Why can't you do it? Because you're not possessed. But under possession, tremendous things happen like that. Well, this man was dwelling among the tombs and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. The critics say this must just be a little, you know, overstatement. The writer is sort of blowing the subject, you know. He's not blowing the subject, he's telling the truth, that's all. This man was possessed, he was controlled, he was a medium, he was a channel for devil spirits, unclean spirit, and this unclean spirit was a big one, gave him a lot of strength, much beyond human strength. And when they put those handcuffs on him, he broke them like a knife goes through soft butter or something. Says they'd often bound him with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. That must have been a dandy, huh? Neither could any man tame him. No man could. That man really was ferocious, wasn't he? Vicious. But we wrestle not against what? And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Perhaps later on in the class, I'll take some of these other things apart and show you that this is the same thing we're having today yet. People who run around, cut themselves with knives, a lot of other things, inflict these things on them. Wrestle not against flesh and blood. Would you like to take your pocket knife out and cut yourself a few times now? Why not? Because you're pretty sober, spiritually speaking. But under certain types of possession, that's exactly what they do. I'm going to show you something in this class that Lowell Thomas, I think it was, photographed many years ago in a certain country, where the man, to prove the greatness of God in his life, has fish hooks in his back. Big, long, I call them fish hooks. They're like you used to catch turtles with, only bigger. He's got them hooked all over his back, down here through this part of his back, all the way down and up, and he's pulling 400 pounds on a coaster wagon. And he's got it all hooked in his back, just plain old fish hooks, and he's stooped down like this, and he's pulling that 400 pounds in that coaster wagon. And all the time he's going, he's praising the Lord, shouting hallelujah, and he's not hurting one bit. Not one bit of hurt in him. I'm going to show you things about firewalkers, men who barefooted, women who barefooted walk over white-hot coals, come off of the other side, and there's not even the smell of smoke on them. Their feet are not burned or scorched. You want to try it tonight? Why, you couldn't even walk over somebody who smoked his pipe for a half hour and burned your foot. You see, people think these are just happenings. They are happenings, but it's a wrestling not against flesh and blood, but spiritual power. And today in these our United States, among all Christian circles, we don't know anything about devil spirits, much less we don't even believe in them. We just don't pay any attention. We say, oh, that's rubbish. Is it? Woo-hoo! When you see a footstool move from this corner back to that corner and nobody's touching it, I wasn't blind, and I'm not stupid. Well, you people, not stupid in the sense I'm thinking. Oh, I'm stupid a lot of things maybe, but boy, when it comes to spiritual field, that I understand. That I can see the genuine and counterfeit, and I can smell it a mile away. That's right. Walk into any home in any place in the world and know whether it's clean or dirty spiritually. It hasn't got anything to do with whether you wash the dishes or the diapers, but has everything to do with either genuine presence of the true God or of the wrong God. This old fella was in those among the tombs night and day. And verse 6 says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and what? Worshipped him. They should have given him a front seat in the church service. They would have. Today, Why, sure. Because he worshipped who? Jesus. And as long as they say, well, I come along and say, well, I worship Jesus. You can have any seat almost in any church you want to. That boy, they'd have given him a seat any place, right? And yet the Bible says that he was constantly in the tombs cutting himself. Something wrong with him. Read the next verse. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? What? That's a more accurate statement than many ministers in the pulpit today believe. This man who was possessed, who was cutting himself among the tombs day after day, look at that testimony. But is it really the testimony of the man or that which is in the man controlling him? He said, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Verse 8, for Jesus said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked the spirit, what's your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion. We are many. And he, the devil spirit, besought him, Jesus, much, that he would not send them away out of the what? Country. There is an operation of a possession. And verse 15 says, and they come to Jesus, and they saw him. That was, next word, possessed. With the devil, or by the devil, the one who had the legion, they came and they saw this man sitting and clothed and in his what? Right mind. So the moment you are possessed, you are no longer in what? That's what the word says. That's what it means. If you're possessed, easy beatsy, we don't be it. It's already what? Possession, and you're no longer what? In your right mind. That's right. And they were what? Afraid. Isn't this just great? When he was cutting himself among the tombs, living among the tombs, nobody got shook. Nobody got excited. Oh, they just knew that was just a normal way for that old fellow. But when he came to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ delivered him, took those devil spirits out of him, he took them out of his mind, the man was then in his right mind, and then they were scared to death. Just like today. You teach people the accuracy of God's Word, they think you're nuts. You teach them error and baloney, and they think you're the greatest person in the world. We wrestle not against what? That's why they think so, because they're possessed. Some of them are so blind by Satan, they just see nothing. He has blinded our eyes to the end that when a man sets the truth of God's Word before him, they couldn't see it because they just totally possessed in blindness by the devil. And unless you get revelation to deliver them, they stay that way. Don't kid yourself. You see, the Bible says, I can do all things. All right, if I'm going to do it, I've got to have the equipment of Christ Jesus in my life to do it. Spiritually, I know I have it when I'm born again of God's Spirit. But what about the renewed mind? What about the mind up here? How much of the Word have I put up here? How much of that Word do I know? Because I can't operate any more than what I know. The reason that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the Word says, is because we are His messengers. Not only are we God's messengers, we are His ambassadors. Not only are we not just messengers and ambassadors, the Bible says we are His witnesses. Not just messengers, ambassadors, and witnesses, but the Word of God says we are His soldiers. Not just messengers, ambassadors, witnesses, or soldiers. The Word of God says we are His workmanship. Not one place does it ever say in the Bible that you as a Christian believer are possessed or controlled or taken over. It always says that you are either His messenger, you are His ambassador, you are His witness, you are His soldier, or you are His workmanship. Every place in the Bible where it speaks of the Christian believer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, X, Romans, Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 23. Listen to it. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you or our brother. Be inquired of, they are the messengers of the what? Churches. And these messengers, they are the glory of what? Isn't that wonderful? Now, if we're going to be the glory of Christ, we got to be the messengers for him, right? And you can't be a screwball messenger. You got to be a messenger with the truth. That's what is the glory of Christ. Keep your finger in Corinthians and go to Philippians. Chapter 2, Ephesians, Philippians. Chapter 2. Verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. That's good, huh? A fellow soldier, but your what? Messenger. And he that ministered to my what? Your messenger. He was a messenger who carried God's word to God's people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, of course, a very familiar one of those of you that's been in the advanced class because of the illustrations that go with it. Verse 20. Now then, we are a what? Ambassadors for whom? That's what it says. We're ambassadors. Not only are we messengers, but we are ambassadors. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, for which I am what? An ambassador. I am an ambassador in bonds. In Luke, the 24th chapter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 24. Listen to verse 48. And ye are witnesses of what? These things. We are messengers, we are ambassadors, but we're also witnesses of these things. We are not defense attorneys. Because we never need to defend truth. Truth needs no defense. Because truth is its own defense. Error needs defense. That's why you hire attorneys, because you're wrong. So you got to defend the wrong. Good. Rufus Mosley used to say, tell the truth and forget about it. Tell a lie, remember it. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall receive power after or when Pneuma Hagion is come upon you. And then you're going to be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and on the uttermost part of what? Perhaps the uttermost part includes the place you come from. Okay? But you're going to be what? Witnesses, not defense attorneys. Anytime you have to defend something, quit. Because it isn't true enough. If it's truth, you just say it and forget about it. If nobody believes it, it's still truth. If nobody gets the results of it, it's still truth. Look at chapter 5 of Acts. Chapter 5, verse 32. And we are his what? Of these things, and so is also the Pneuma Hagion whom God hath given to them that obey him. And they get repent and get converted. That kind of thing. We are his what? Witnesses. Look at chapter 13 of Acts. Acts chapter 13, verse 31. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto what? The people. We too are his witnesses unto the people. You know what I teach you in the foundational class, that to get rid of darkness, you don't introduce more darkness into your life. Remember? That if you're loaded with sin, the way to get rid of sin is not to introduce more sin. Just quit stewing about the sin, introduce light, deliverance. When you introduce light, the negative disappears. Father says there some of you in the class have been so cognizant of the devil that you're just introducing him. You talk about the devil so much that you got your trap door open to the devil. Father says, get the light of God's word in your mind and the devil will take care of himself. He'll be taken care of. You introduce the light of the word of God and quit stewing about the devil. Father says, some of you think you're being attacked all the time. Well, that's no secret. Quit thinking about it. For we're more than conquerors, right? Quit thinking about those attacks. Think of what you have in Christ and shut up on the rest. Now, Father says it's going to be a hard lesson to some of you, but Father also says the lesson's going to get harder tomorrow if you don't learn it tonight. Right. So don't come to me during this advanced class and say, well, the old devil's sure pouring it on me. I want to tell you, God poured more on you in Christ Jesus. You renew your mind on what you got in Christ. You introduce that light into your mind. You don't have to stew and fret about the devil, because we'll take care of him by the word of God. So the more you think about the devil, and some people talk so much about him because they love him so much, I guess, and they have so much fellowship with him, and the more they talk about him, the more they witness to it, the more trouble they got with him. Why don't you introduce the light of God's word in your mind, and you don't have to stew and fret about the devil? The word will take care of him. Yet you've got to say what the word says. We are his witnesses. Well, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Familiar to you, I'm sure. Look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardship as a good what? Soldier of whom? Amen. So quit complaining. If the devil lays one on you, shut up. That's right. You got the shield of believing. You got the sword of what? Use it. Tell him to go fly or do something. Work him over. We're soldiers. Well, bless your heart. If you're a soldier, you got to have some equipment. We've got her because he has equipped us in Christ Jesus, right? So we know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but you know good and well you got a fight on your hands, right? Well, we're soldiers. We'll act like one. And you know what you do? You never keep your gun clean. You never keep your armor shined up until just the time the enemy gets there. You're crazy. The boys clean their rifle when the battle isn't on. They shine up themselves when the fight's not there. You and I have to so get in the Word of God and get the Word of God so in us that we're shined up, we're cleaned up, our armor is ready to fire, the rifle's ready to shoot, she's clean as a whip when the enemy gets around. You can't wait to learn the Word of God till you're on your deathbed, I'll tell you that. You can't wait to learn the accuracy of God's word until the time when you get possessed with all devil spirits and he's laid you out. You and I got to get our weapons shined up, our guns oiled. We got to get that knowledge of God's word. I hate to read you verse 4 because I have to read it to you in the advanced class. But boy, when I have first, the young Christians or the people that aren't even that far along, you sure hate to read that one. Because it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Some of you in the advanced class are going to have to get untangled.